Yud Tes Elul, Thursday the 30th of August, Rabbi David Tugendhat, the lapsed Baal Teshuva.
Good. So it's all about us.
Good morning, everybody. What a tremendous privilege it is to be back here at Torah Way to share some ideas with you. We learnt about the Mesis. The Mesis is somebody who tries to get people to be Ovid Avodah Zorah. This person is not very successful. He's a Lo Mutzlach. He tries to get people to worship Avodah Zorah, and they tell on him, and they tell the beast in the Sanhedrin, and he gets killed. He gets a terrible einish, and he wasn't even successful. Says the Alter von Kelm, Midah Tova Meruba. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever he does something for the good, it's always greatly exceeds that the similar thing when it is done for the bad. So if we're trying to get people to do an Avera, there's such a huge einish. So we can only imagine the tremendous sachar for people who sit together and try and help each other with tshuva this time of the year in Elul. Alachas kama v'kama must be tremendous sachar for people who are involved speaking about tshuva together. So shkoyach for this forum. We all mechazak each other and encourage each other in this area. The topic of the shiur today is the lapsed Baal tshuva. Somebody who does tshuva and then it all goes pear-shaped. It all goes horribly wrong. So to what extent has his tshuva been worthwhile? But what we're going to be doing is we're going to be speaking about different aspects and different elements of the tshuva process, looking at each aspect individually, and Be'ez Hashem, then we'll come to it. So let's start off with the correct order for tshuva. The Rambam tells us in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Umayah tshuva, what is this concept of tshuva? Hu sheyazov hachotei chetoi. That the person should be oizev, should leave the sin behind. V'yosirim machshavtoi, take it out of his mind. V'yigmar beliboi, shelo yaseihu oid. And he should determine in his heart, aziv asachetz, he will not do it again. Shenemar, as it says, yazev rosh adarkoi. V'chein yisnachem al sha'ovar. After he says that we should be oizev the chait, that we should stop doing the chait and never do it again. Then he says, and we should regret al sha'avar shenemar. It says in Yirmiyahu, ki achrei shuvi nechamti. After I did teshuva and left the sin behind, then I had remorse. And then the Rambam says, v'yeyed olav yodeya ta'alumos. And the one who knows all hidden things should be able to testify about him. Shlo yoshuv lazeh hachait la'olam. That this person will never ever reoffend. And the Rambam says later, "V'tzorach lehizvadois b'sefosov," and he has to do vidoy as well. He has to confess verbally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that when the Rambam speaks about the order of doing tshuva, he speaks about azivas hachet v'kabbalah la'osid. He speaks about refraining from doing the aveira, determining never to do it again, and only afterwards does he speak about charota, expressing remorse, and then the vidoy. Now the Meiri has a chibur on tshuva. And the Meiri says in Mamar Aleph that actually Techilas HaTeshuva Yacharoto, that the first thing when it comes to tshuva is the feeling of the remorse. And he says this is the first condition, this is the Sheirish Kol HaTanoim, this is the root of everything. Because if you don't regret it, and you don't feel terrible about this act, so then he says, Adayin HaSod Asher Tzomchu Bayachatoim Omed Mochon Lezriya LaKetzira. He says the field, the metaphorical field in which grew all of these Averas is still totally available for sowing seeds and for harvesting, and therefore he says you have to start off with Charota. So which one in fact needs to be done first? So Rabbeinu Yonah has his classic work Shari Tshuva in Shar Aleph Ois Yud Aleph, and he says the following. By the way, there's a legend regarding his Sefer Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah of Gurundi. Many people say that he wrote his Shari Tshuva as a response to the burning of the Sifrei Horambam, which took place in 1232. He was very involved in the fight, so to speak, against the Rambam's works, which at the time were very controversial, involving as they did philosophy, and the contemporary philosophers and the ancient philosophers, and he was one of the big players over there, who was going against the Rambam, held an opinion diametrically opposed to the Rambam. Afterwards, when all of the Talmud was burned, in the very same place, so he himself felt that maybe I went in too hard over here, and he would in his yeshiva, he would always say Shittas HaRambam. They say he went to visit the Rambam's grave, to cry over the Rambam's grave, and the legend goes that that's the reason that he wrote the Sha'arei Tshuva. Some people argue regarding this, but that is the way, according to the legends, that Sha'arei Tshuva came about. Okay, so what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? Rabbeinu Yonah says it all depends on the following. If it was a one-off Aveira, so then it's just a one-off Aveira, it's not something which he's doing habitually, then it's sufficient to start off with the Charata, to feel the remorse about it. And as he feels more and more remorse, then ultimately he will ensure that he's eis of the chet and he'll never ever do it again. Whereas if it's something which is embedded and he's always doing, so then first of all, he just has to go cold turkey, as they say, he has to stop. Because otherwise, it's like he is tovel v'sheretz b'yodoi. It's as though he is immersing whilst he's still holding on to the sheretz. And therefore, he's not able to be matar himself. The Achreinim explain Rabbeinu Yonah that the ikka really over here is charoto. But the charoto doesn't really help. Kol zman, he is continually, habitually reoffending. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says over here, that it all depends whether it was derech mikra, a mikra, or whether this was something which was done b'kavius. Another point. What happens if a person does partial tshuva? So far we spoke about the order of tshuva. What if a person does partial tshuva? They do azivas achetz, they say they're not going to go back to it again. But they really, really enjoyed it. It was super geschmack. They just can't bring themselves to charota. They went, they had this big chazer burger, they mummish enjoyed it. They say, you know what? They lick their lips, but they say, never again. But they just can't bring themselves to feel any remorse over this whatsoever. Or they have remorse, they're living with remorse the whole time, but they continually, you know, having more and more, and they're continually doing the Aveirin. Is it worthwhile at all to have a partial teshuvah? Now Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shara Aleph Oisio Tes, Yisoydei sa teshuvah him charoto vidu yaziva sacheit, ve'en teshuvah pechusa mishleisho eile. And there's no teshuvah if it's less than these. The remorse, the confession, and departing from this Aveira. So it does seem to be that he's saying that you do have to do all three in order for it to be considered a proper tshuva. However, the Mabit, he says otherwise. The Mabit lived at the same time as Rav Yosef Cairo. He was actually for a period the Rav in Tzfas, Rav Moshe ben Yosef di Trani, 1505 to 1585. His classic Sefer, in Beis Elokim, he explains that actually it's not like the mitzvah of tzitzis, let's say. The mitzvah of tzitzis, it's all or nothing. Either you've got the tzitzis on all the four corners, or it's garnished. In fact, one would be doing an Aveira if one didn't have tzitzis on all four corners, going around in a four-cornered garment. He says it's not like that at all. And Mabit says, actually, even if you don't do a tshuva shlema, even if you just have one of these elements and you don't have all of these elements, it is still very worthwhile. He brings two proofs. One proof is from the King Achav. The story of King Achav is in Melochim Aleph. And King Achav married this non-Jewish wicked wife, Izavel, and they wanted to uproot Torah mitzvahs completely. And they were Oved Avodah Zorah, they were Machties HaRabim, they killed the Nevi'im. And we know the episode that we'll be speaking about at the end of Yom Kippur, when Eliyahu HaNavi, Hashem Hu Elokim, on Har HaKarmel, this all took place at the time of Achav. And Achav was such a rasha. He was known as the worst one of all of the kings. And yet, it says over there, the Poskim Melochim Aleph, Perek Kaf Aleph, Posuk Kaf Ches, Yan ki nichna miponai le'ovi hara b'yomov. Even though he would have a great punishment to his family, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the punishment in his days. And over there, all that Achav did was he had charoto. He just felt bad about all the averas that he did. But he didn't stop them. And yet you see that his partial tshuva was already considered sufficient that he wouldn't be punished in his days. Says Mabit, we see from here, even a partial tshuva is good. Another raya is from the Anshei Nineveh. Because the Anshei Nineveh, we know they turned their whole lives around. When Yonah came to them, as we'll be speaking about on Yom Kippur afternoon at Mincha, the pasuk tells us in Yaino Gimel, V'yoshuvu ish midarkei hara min hachomos asher b'kapeihem, that they will do teshuvah, they will return each one from their evil way and from the robbery that they had, asher b'kapeihem. And Chazal tell us, Rabbi Yochanan says in Yerushalmi Tanis, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, that it was only the things that they still had, b'kapeihem, it was only the robbery that they'd taken, which is in their hands, and that's what they gave back. So if they just gun off the diamond necklace, and they still had that, and they had the earrings, those things they gave back. But all of the previous things that they had stolen, they never expressed remorse about what they had done, and they never tried to make amends about the previous things. It's just min hachomos asher b'kapeihem. So it was only the Gezel Be'en that they actually returned. So they didn't have any charoto, and yet we see that they were able to avert the disaster. So you see that even if a person just has Kabbalah al-Osid, Aziva Sachet, they stopped doing the Aveirot, but they did not express any remorse about their previous misdemeanors, still that is considered very, very precious in the eyes of Hashem. And Mabit says an even greater chiddush, even if a person just determines to do tshuva, but they haven't even really expressed any remorse yet, and they haven't even stopped doing the Aveira, but they know that they really, really want to, he brings from Joshua Saran, Jerush Yud, he brings from Rabban, Devarim Lamed Aleph, that even a hirhur of a charot or bilvad, even a person just determines they want to make good, then that already is sufficient that to be considered the beginning of the tshuva process, and to be able to avert terrible ainshim. So we've spoken about partial tshuva. Let's speak about the individual components of tshuva. We've spoken about charoto, that a person has to have remorse. Now, what is the purpose of charoto? We understand why a person has to stop doing the aveira that they're doing, and they should undertake in the future not to, but what is actually the purpose? What does charoto do? So we find in the Rishonim two approaches to what does charoto accomplish. There's a Sefer Ikrim in Mamar Dalet, and he says that a person's acts are really determined by their rotzoin. It all depends on your desire and your will when you do an act, to the extent that that act will be considered in Shomayim. So we know if a person is an onus, they do something, but there's no rotzoin involved, so then obviously they're going to be potter. It all depends on the koyach harotzoin. So the Sefer Ikrim says that if a person is able to uproot that rotzoin, to take that rotzoin away, so then it is considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Akiras HaRotzoin is considered like Akiras HaMaisa. This is also what the Mesilas Yesharim says in Perek Dalet. Tshuva nina lachatoim b'chesed gomor, she teichoshev Akiras HaRotzoin ka Akiras HaMaisa. He says that's a big chesed. So this is one approach. If a person is able to get to really express remorse, so then, because they feel, I so really wouldn't want to do such a thing, so their whole rotzoin has evaporated, and therefore it's as though the maisa has also evaporated. There's a big nidden regarding this in Kovetz Ha'oretz. Kovetz Ha'oretz, Rabbi Elchanan, in Biur HaGodes Al Derech HaPshat, Siman Gimel, he says, why does the Maseilas Yesharim say that this is considered a chesed godoil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us? Why is it considered a big chesed? We know that even when it comes to Averis, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, that if a person has charoto, in Daf Chav Sinai Amud Beis, if a person has charoto on the mitzvahs that they did, so also those mitzvahs go away. So surely, if you have charoto, you express remorse over something, whatever you did just dissipates, evaporates, it goes away. So why is it considered a great chesed that if you do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Akiras HaRotzoin and considers it the Akiras HaMaisa? Why is that a big chesed? That's just one of the sort of laws of rotzoin. So, and it works when a person expresses remorse over their mitzvahs as well. So why is it considered a big chesed? And Rabbi Chonam explains that every time a person does a mitzvah or an aveira, there are two aspects to it. So an example would be, if your wife tells you, you know what, enough grieving, you need to start eating more healthily. That's what she says to you. I see a few people, it seems as though such a conversation has taken place at some point. A person is told enough, that you need to start eating healthily. So if a person eats healthily, they are now accomplishing two things. Number one is they actually become healthier. And number two, they've enhanced the relationship with a person who has asked them to do such a thing. Every time a person does an Aveira, so it not only are they getting spiritually unhealthy, there's a spiritual reality to that, but also they're going against the Rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says the Kevet Sa'aretz Rabbi Chanon, that when a person expresses remorse about something, we know Akiras HaRotzon is like Akiras HaMaisa, whether it's a mitzvah or an Aveira. And that is only true regarding the aspect of the fact you've gone against the person who've asked you to do that. But the other aspect, which is that it's made you healthier to do this mitzvah, and spiritually unhealthy, the kilkul that has happened as a result of the Aveira, seemingly that would still stay there. That is the chesed of tshuva. That is the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the Akiras HaRotzon, because you have such remorse, not only does Hashem say, you know what, Beseda, we'll rebuild our relationship, I'll forgive you. Not only that, but all of the kilkul that was made, all of the negativity that came into the world as a result of that Aveira, all the stain on the person's neshama, all of that just goes away. And that is the chesed of teshuvah. So we see this is the first idea of charota. The first idea of charota is the Sefer Ikrim, the Mesilas Yeshorim, Akiras HaRotzon, getting rid of this Rotzon, is the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the Maisa as well. But there's a second approach to what charota does. And the Meiri says in his Chibur HaTshuvah Mama Aleph Perachas, that what charota does is that if a person is mitzta'ir or mischarit or misoinan, if a person is really troubled and they're so remorseful and they're almost mourning about the aveira that they've done, korav yaseh shlo yoshev lo zeh hachet, then that will stop them from coming to reoffend, because if they're so upset with themselves for doing it, they're less likely to do it again. We see, according to the Meiri, charota is a means to an end. It's just to stop you from reoffending. Whereas according to the Ikrim and the Mesilas Yesharim, it's an end in and of itself. And it actually is poyo, it actually causes the tshuva to take place. According to the Meiri, it doesn't cause the tshuva to take place. It will be the means to stop you from reoffending. So they bring, a nafka mina would be, if a person later on in life, a different situation, there was no way they're going to reoffend. They're not going to reoffend. So, and it's impossible for them to reoffend. Do they have to actively have charoto in order for it to be considered a proper tshuva on what they've done? Or is it just that if they're anyway not going to reoffend, it doesn't matter that they didn't have charoto over what they did, because what is the Meiri? Charoto is just in order to get you not to reoffend. But if you're anyway not reoffending, then you don't even need the charoto. So that's an afkamina between the Ikrim Mesilas Yeshorim versus the Meiri, whether the charoto is really absolutely vital or whether it's just a means to an end to ensuring that that you don't sin again.
That sure imply that you do have a charoto. It implies in it the fact that you're doing tshuva.
So it could, in most cases, yes, but it could be a person enjoyed the Aveira so much, they had such a geshmak, a lashon hara, and they've said, no, I won't, enough, I won't do it again. But they mamish enjoyed it, and they don't feel a remorse about the tshuva, about the Aveira that they did. So that is a little bit about charoto. In terms of aziva sachet, in terms of to what extent, just very quickly, does a person have to actually leave their Aveira behind, we also find two approaches in the Rishonim. The Gemara in Tanis, after Zayin Amud Aleph, says, "Umayde v'oizev yeruchem." If a person confesses and they do aziva sachet, they leave the sin behind, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachmonos on them, will have mercy on them. So Rashi explains over there that we're talking about a person who was stolen. He stole somebody else's car, let's say. And so aziva sachet is that you can't do teshuvah if you're still driving his Ferrari. It just doesn't work. So according to Rashi, you have to give back the thing that you've stolen. And that is umayde v'oizev yeruchem. Aziva sachet means giving back the item that you stole. According to Rashi, aziva sachet is actually fairly straightforward. All you have to do is give back the item that you stole. You're not doing this chet right now. And that is sufficient. However, Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva, Shari Aleph, Eis Yod Aleph, that no way, that's not good enough. Aziva sachet, ki yazov derech of horoim. You have to actually depart from the derech that a person has been on that caused them to do the Aveira. They have to work out what their triggers are. They have to work out what led them to that. They have to see why it is that they have a predisposition to this. And they have to try and be able to uproot that. And only if they can do that huge job is it considered azivas hachet. So for example, if a person, he is always going after money to a very, very high degree, and he lends beribis, and he steals, and he does all of these things. So if he just stops lending beribis, and he just stops stealing, but he still is chalishing after money the whole time, according to Rashi, that is considered azivas hachet. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not good enough, because you may come to re-offend at any time. You have to really work on yourself in a much deeper way. Okay, that is a little bit about the extent of Aziva Sachet. Now comes the big issue, and that is... Aziva Sachet. Azivas. La'azov means to...
Abandon.
To abandon the sin. Okay, now there's a very, very interesting discussion regarding the Kabbalah ala Osids, the desire that I undertake that I will never, ever do this again. The Rambam says in Tshuva Perik Beis Halacha Beis, Ve'yeid olov yodea ta'alumois, and the one who knows all hidden things will be able to testify on this person. But this person will never ever go back to this sin ever. He will never ever reoffend. Now these words in the Rambam are subject to great discussion. What does it mean? So one who knows all the secrets, he will be able to testify, Hashem will be able to testify in him, that he'll never ever go back to this Aveira. The Kesef Mishnah over there says, the Rambam himself tells us that he learns this from a pasuk in Hosea, Perik Yudalad. V'loy ne'amar oid Eloheinu l'maseh yodeinu. The things that we've made in our hands are getchkes, all of these idols. We won't call them Eloheinu anymore. We will not call them our gods. Asher b'cha yerucham yosaim. And we know that only through you will the orphan be given mercy. So where do we learn it out from there? So the Kesef Mishnah says that the pasuk beforehand is Kechuim Mochem Devorim V'Shuvu El Hashem. Take with yourself these words. Tell these words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tell Hashem, we'll never, ever, ever do it again. That you have to tell Hashem that I will never, ever do this Aveira again. There are others who give a different source for this Rambam. They bring a psik to the Rav Kahana, which is brought to the Alkut Shemayin in Hosea Remes Tzofkuf Lamed Beis. Rabbi Eliezer b'nei Shrabi Yosi Aglili Omer. It says, Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. You should return, Yisrael should return ad Hashem Elokecha. Instead of saying ad Hashem Elokecha, aid Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Baruch will be our aid. He'll be our witness that we will never ever go back and do this Aveira again. So it seems over here that according to the Rambam, a condition of tshuva is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to testify about you that you'll never ever do this Aveira again. Now, if that's the case, what happens regarding a lapsed Baal tshuva who has decided they did a huge tshuva, whatever it was, they were saying Lashon Hara their whole life, or they've been eating Chazah their whole life, Shabbos, whatever it is, they did a massive, massive tshuva. And then a few years later, unfortunately, they do the Aveira again. Do we say that their original tshuva has now been cancelled? Do we say their original tshuva is now worthless? According to the Pashtus of the Rambam, their original tshuva is worthless. Because it has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be made, that you'll never ever re-offend. And if a person does do the Aveira again, it seems to be that this Aveira comes back. And this is, in which case, the lapsed Baal Tshuva has a very, very big problem over here. However, we do find Rishonim who write Mefurish not like this. They say that if a person does Tshuva, even if afterwards they do the Aveira again, it's considered a new account. We find the Sefer Emunos Vedeus in Rav Sadia Gaon, Mama Hei. He says, Kasher ki ha'odom kasher yaskim ba'is tshuvosoi belev sholem shelo yeshaneh. If a person undertakes in the heart, they'll never reoffend. Their teshuva is accepted. You will never lose out from the teshuva that you have done, and that stays with you. So Rav Sadia Gaon says that even if a person reoffends, their original teshuva is still good. The Meirian is chivat teshuva mamar aleph perik tes. He also says the same thing, and so too the Mabit and Beis Elokim Shara Tshuva Perek Vav also that even if a person does do an Avera later, it's just the Yetzer Hara has got the better of them, and it's considered a new calculation. Now the Kaz HaKamach is Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai died in 1340, and he says that he learns this. That this, when we say the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, we say Venake Lo Yunake. So what does it mean, Venake? What does it mean, Venake? So he says this is one of the Yud Gimel Midas. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Menake Lemisha Chayzer VeChayte LaAchar Atshuva. Shekvar Nimcha Loichetei B'Tshuvos HaRishayno. Avo Bisha Chayzer VeChayte Achshav. Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chayzer Upeiked Oisa Avinus, because they are ready Nimchala. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menake Oysoi Mehem, V'zeo Midas Venake. Venake means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're clean. You know, you're clean. And this is one of the Midas, one of the Yud Gimel Midas. Now, if you're clean, you're clean. Why is it one of the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Kad HaKamach says, that he says you're clean, even if afterwards you do the Aveiro again. He still says, once you've done it, it's in the bank, and Venake, and you're going to be okay. Now there's a Gemara in Yomo Peivov Omid Beis, and there's a different way according according to the Rambam or according to these other Rishonim, there'll be a different way of how you learn this Gemara. So it says Tana Rabbanan Averis Shezvada Aleim B'Yom HaKippurim Zeh Lo Yachsev Yezvada Aleim B'Yom HaKippurim Acher. If a person did Vidoy on the Averis that they did this year, don't do Vidoy on them again next year. V'im shono b'hem, tzorach shi'esavad aleim b'yom ha'kippurim acher. But if you shono b'hem, if you did the aveira again, then you need to do vidoy on this next Yom Kippur. So of course, if you did the aveira again, you're going to need to do vidoy. So the way the Rambam learns it is, if you do the aveira again, then what do you have to do vidoy over? The original aveiras that you did, which you'd already done to show before. Because once you've reoffended, it's opened up a whole can of worms, and therefore you have to do tshuva v'im shono b'hem, tzorach shi'esvad aleihem b'yom ha'kippurim acher. If you do the aveira again, you now need to do another vidoy over the original aveiras that you did. However, the Mabit, he explains that Gemara differently. He says that no, it's in the bank, you've already done your tshuva, and it's already safe. What does it mean you need to do vidoy again over the previous aveiras? He says, because you know that you are liable to reoffend, and this is something, you've got a weakness over here. Therefore, by doing even more tshuva, and by doing even more vidoy, and saying, Hashem, I'm so sorry I did it this year, and I remember, Hashem, I even did it previous years, I'm so sorry about that. It's not that you need to do tshuva again for it, but it's just that you need to really try and make sure that you don't slip up this time like you slipped up last time. So therefore, you have to go over the vidoy again, to help you for your current tshuva on the averis you've done now. But that is not necessary. You don't need to do a full tshuva on the previous averis. And that's in fact why it says, just tzorach shi'esvadeh. It doesn't say that you have to do tshuva. Okay, so far what we've seen is that it seems as though the Rambam says that you have to do tshuva if the Baal Tshuva lapses. You have to do tshuva on the previous ones, whereas these other Rishonim don't. However, we do find some Achronim that say even the Rambam doesn't mean that. Even the Rambam himself, when he says "V'yeyid olov yudeya talumo yisriyosh lezeachay tolaylam," it doesn't mean that, like the Pashtus, which is that Hashem will testify about you that you'll never do it again. And there are a few approaches over here in learning up this Rambam. The Lechem Mishnah in Tshuva Perik Beis Halacha Beis, he says, "Look, how can Hashem ever be made on you? What about bechira?" Yeah, of course, a person has bechira. Him bekadoshav leyamin. So of course, a person may come to reoffend. So what does it mean for Yehudolov Yodea Ta'alumais? It means that the person accepts upon himself to do tshuva so much that Hashem now is testifying about him that he really, really means it. It's not that Hashem is testifying he'll never do it again. It's Hashem, Yehudolov Yodea Ta'alumais, Hashem who knows the secrets of a person's heart, can testify that as he stands now, he's doing such a good tshuva that he never ever wants to return to do this aveira again. So it's not about Hashem testifying that in the future. In Kaich Vayoyer, Simon Zayin, he says the kavono is he says lemaisa pretty much the same as that. And in the Sefer Tshuva Perek Beis, he says that's very meduyuk the loshon yodea ta'alumois. It doesn't say yodea ho'asidois. It's only Hashem who knows the future. Yudea Talumus, he knows the secrets, what's going on inside the person's heart. The Nachlas Yaakov, another pshat, brought in the Anaf Yosef on the Ein Yaakov, Yom Peivov, he says slightly different pshat in the Rambam. He says that we know Aveiro Geiris Aveiro. If a person sins once, they're liable to sin again. So if a person does a tshuva, full tshuva, then V'yehidol of Yodea Talumus, Hashem could testify about him that if he does reoffend in the future, it's not because of the Aveira Geiris Aveira aspect. Because you've already cut that, you've already broken that that pattern, and it would be a new type, it would be a new calculation, it would be a new cheshbon over here. Just finish off with one vort that is related to this, and that is Ramesha Feinstein in Dorash Moshe and Parshas Beshalach. He says an amazing thing. He says that Vayahas Kolev, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Kolev such tremendous sechar, Va'avdi Kolev Vayikivos Rusa Acheres, he gets such a huge sechar, but seemingly, even though he tried to get everybody to do tshuva, seems as though he was unsuccessful, but he gets a massive, massive sechar for it. And as soon as he says his piece, after the Meraglim say, yeah, but we'll never ever be able to go, well, it's impossible. And the way Ramesha Feinstein learns this is that Kolev was successful. He did get them to do tshuva, but it was only for a minute or two. And then afterwards it was completely destroyed by the rest of the Meraglim. But for being able to get people to do tshuva, even for a minute or two, Kolev got tremendous, tremendous schar from doing such a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up on Har Sinai, the Malachim, they didn't want to give him the Torah. They didn't want to give him the Torah. They said, what's this boss of Adam going to be doing with the Torah? What are these boss of Adam going to do? They're going to break it. Why give somebody a glass vessel if they're going to destroy it? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hachzele and Shuva. And I saw from the Mishkol Tzarebbe, he says, Hachzele and Shuva. You tell these Malachim, there's the concept of Shuva. You tell these Malachim that even though we might break things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us this tremendous capacity that we'll be able to fix them, Hachzele and Shuva. Because Baruch should bench us, should have a good Gevench Diok, Sivach Simatov, should accept all the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, which we zechah to Gulas and Yeshuas, we should all dance together with Mashiach, Tzidkenu, and Yerushalayim, Ruach HaKodesh, B'mehera, V'meinu, Amen.